father. And every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Happy Thanksgiving. Well, one day late, or maybe 2 days late, or 3 days late, depending on whether you're talking or you're listening on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But I hope that it's been a good holiday for all of you. A couple weeks back, I was talking about being grateful, and I hope you found plenty to be grateful for. And I hope you took time around the table, if not to share that out loud, at least to pause and give thanks to the giver of all good gifts for the wonderful things that he showers upon us in this season of year, this gratuitous time of year, full of gratitude, as we are always meant to be as followers of Christ. You know, we're coming up now as we've rounded the corner of Thanksgiving, and it is, in many of the secular world's eyes, it is the holiday season now. Perhaps you yourself have gone out and acquired a Christmas tree or started decorating, that sort of thing. I know a lot of families do that the weekend after Thanksgiving. And I know, a lot of people who know me well know that I'm a bit of an Advent Scrooge. I'm all about Advent. Let's not miss Advent. Advent is that season of preparation leading up to the great celebration of Christmas. Let's not forsake Advent for the sake of getting the tree up and all decorated and that sort of thing. Here's my challenge to you. You don't have to be as stark and bare as I am during the Advent season. But here's my challenge to you. Pick one thing that's Christmas related that you say, I am not going to do this at least until after 4 p.m. on December the 24th, you know, with the coming of evening prayer that ushers in the great celebration, the Nativity of our Lord. So here's some Christmas practice that I'm not going to do until after 4 p.m. on December 24th. That's what I'm going to encourage all of our listeners to do. If you've already put up the tree, if you've already started decorating, that sort of thing, well, pick something else. Pick something that you're just not going to do. Here's a little bit of a way that I have bent in that direction of honoring and observing Advent a little bit more. So we actually, back a couple, maybe a month, 2 months ago, we actually put up some lights on our house that are these kind of permanent lights that can go from one color to another. We've only had them on once. That was on All Hallows Eve. We had an orange color going on that night to welcome the trick-or-treaters to our door. So I'm going to have them on during the season of Advent, but I'm going to have them violet in color because they offer that as an option, and not red and green or not white. Those will remain violet. I don't think they have much for rose colored. So I think once we get to the third Sunday of Advent, I'm going to have to stick with violet. But, that's something that I do. I try my hardest. It's almost impossible in this season, but I try my hardest not to do Christmas music, not to listen to Christmas music. But that's a tough one, I know. So many people enamored with the Christmas music. And as long as, I let some things slide for the sake of maintaining peace within my family. So some things that I would consider more winter songs than I would Christmas songs. So Sleigh Ride or Winter Wonderland or something, Frosty the Snowman, that Jingle Bells, that all these are allowable, acceptable during Advent because they're winter songs. They're not necessarily Christmas songs. So I try to lay off the Christmas music. One thing, too, during the Advent season in preparation, because it's all about preparation. It's about making ourselves ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus and also looking forward to that day when we will meet him face to face. And I think that idea of preparation is one thing that a lot of people actually enjoy, even if they don't know it. I know, just thinking back on Thanksgiving, so what typically happens around our household in Thanksgiving is that there's a lot of preparation that goes on. You know, people have been baking, I put some pies together, and I had to think ahead. And I had to bake those pies thinking ahead to the great celebration when we'd be able to try them, to taste them with in the company of family and friends, and be able to celebrate all the more to the holiday of Thanksgiving. And that's what preparation really is. There's a joy in preparing. And that's, I believe, what Advent is always going to be focused on. It is a season of joy. It's a holy season of joy. Speaking of which, there is an Advent Day of Reflection coming up with Father Byron Hagen and Elizabeth Kelly. Elizabeth Kelly is going to join us a little bit later on here in the show to talk about it. It's called Tidings of Comfort and Joy. See, there you go. Tidings of Comfort and Joy, Advent Day of Reflection. And it's actually coming up on Saturday, December 1st. So there's much to be done. I mean, that's the way to kick off your Advent. It's going to be 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's the St. Clement campus of Holy Cross Catholic Church in Northeast Minneapolis. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but that would be a wonderful thing, a wonderful way to kick off your Advent season, to do something like that. So take the time for the preparation so that the celebration can become all that it is meant to be. Here's what I would say. If you love Christmas more than you love Advent, right? Or if you observe Christmas forsaking the observation of Advent, then you don't love Christmas enough. Because if you practice Advent, it will give you a more rich, more full experience of Christmas. Mark my word. All right, so with that, what else have we got coming up on the program? We've got Jen Messing, who's going to be with us to talk about Into the Deep, the theology body-based retreats that she has been running since 2002. So she founded that, and she's the executive director of Into the Deep. She's going to talk to us. Also, speaking of founders and presidents, Mark Burcham, founder and president of Net Ministries, and one of his missionary staff, James Farina, is with us to here in studio to talk about Net Ministries. Net Ministries, Into the Deep, and this Advent Day of Reflection. That's what we got coming up here in the Rediscover Hour. Let's, as always, pause and give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going into our first break. When we come back, we're going to have Mark Burcham with us, as well as James Farina, to talk about Net Ministries, headquartered right here in West St. Paul. You won't want to miss it. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Catholic United Financial now offers Medicare Supplement Health Insurance. At 65, you can enroll in Medicare for your health care expenses, but Medicare only covers part of the cost. The answer? Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United. It can help pay expenses Medicare doesn't cover. Catholic United can help with Medicare Supplement, Part D, dental, and vision coverage. Call 651-765-6555 for a quick comparison quote. See how much you can save. Catholic United Financial, competitive pricing, easy enrollment, hassle-free claim service. And best of all, we're a Catholic company that honors your faith with a track record of people helping people. Call right now, 651-765-6555, or find your local rep online at catholicunitedfinancial.org. Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
And we're back here in the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Great to be with you again. And have you heard of Net Ministries? I'm guessing most of you have. The new evangelization teams, Net Ministries, headquartered here in West St. Paul. We've got the founder and president of Net Ministries, Mark Burcham. He's a Murray grad and lives with his wife and four children and one grandson. Well, I don't know if they all still live in West St. Paul, but lives in West St. Paul, parishioners at St. Joseph. And then also joining us, James Farina, who's now missionary staff. Last year was team leader at Providence Academy with Net Ministries. Great to have you both on the program. Welcome to the studio.
Yeah, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you.
I hope you brought us some of that pie.
Well, I'll see what I can do. too. I think most of it's probably gone by this point. We got a big household at Thanksgiving at my in-laws. So wonderful. Well, it's great to have you here. Mark, let's start with you, founder and president. Where did God plant the seed for Net Ministries? Where and when? Can you trace it back to a time, a place? Was it just a hunch? Was it kind of a direct message? How did it all happen?
Yeah, I wish I had an inspiring story for you. It was no lightning bolt, but there was a group of young people at the Catholic Youth Center downtown St. Paul in the late 70s and early 80s. Our faith came alive, and we wanted to share that faith with other young people. Mm. And it kind of came together for us. We were on a retreat. We had a young man on the retreat who was one of those kids that was always picked on by his colleagues, by his friends. And he came to the retreat with a weapon, not a gun, but a metal object that he was going to use to bash in the face of the next person that called him a name or teased him.
Wow.
And during the retreat, he heard about God's love. He sat in one of our small groups, got some personal testimony from some of the team members, was prayed with. At the end of the retreat, he came up to me, handed me the weapon, and said, "I don't need this anymore." And we didn't know he had it going into the retreat, but it kind of came together for us that young people are carrying a lot of woundedness, a lot of difficulty, a lot of crap. We don't know what they're carrying, but we do know what the answer is.
Mm.
And that's to help young people connect with Christ, to practice their faith, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and to experience being loved as part of the church.
Okay. Well, I'm imagining, as I said in the intro, that a lot of our listeners are probably familiar with Net Ministries. I'm guessing a lot of them have probably worked with Net teams and that sort of thing. But why don't you give us just a brief glimpse into how does Net Ministries work? How does it bring that hope and encouragement to young people?
Certainly. So we recruit college-aged young men and women from around the country, actually from around the world, who come and serve with us for a year. This year we trained 175 missionaries. They go through a 5-week training program, and then they're sent out into teams, on teams. They work in about 110 dioceses around the country, conducting retreats. They're all focused on the basic gospel message, God's love for us, the problem with sin, our need to respond to grace and a time of prayer. And during this school year, we'll work with about 100,000 Catholic young people across the United States.
Wow. 100,000. And what's kind of the daily routine as a Net missionary? What do people do? I can imagine it's pretty varied.
It's very varied. Most of them don't know what day of the week it is.
Yeah.
Until they're at Mass and they hear two readings. Then they realize, it's Sunday. Those that are traveling, they're up every morning, going to another parish, another school. They're praying in the vans. Mm. They get to a parish or school. They set up. And as soon as the first young person walks in the door, the retreat starts. We tell them that we need to win them into friendship. And so we put a lot of emphasis on meeting young people, politely getting into their face, letting them know that we're real and that we care. And then the retreat's it's a mix of large group presentations, small group discussion. We use little gospel-based vignettes to try to put the gospel into visual form for them. And then we always end the retreat with time in chapel, where we give each young person the chance to make a personal response or a personal decision for Christ, to, in a sense, renew their baptismal vows. And every young person on retreat is prayed with individually by one of the missionaries. And that's really the moment of conversion for many of them.
Because
it's not about the missionaries. It's not about the program. It's about an encounter with Jesus.
Right. Meeting Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. So what kind of folks do you look for when it comes to Net missionaries? What kind of young people are you really hoping for?
Certainly people with a strong faith, people that can share that faith in a personal way, people that want to make a difference. That young people are idealistic. They want to change the world. We want to give them a chance. We're looking for people of varied talents. We want some musicians. We want some athletes. We want some smart people. We want some not so smart people. We want some very
excellent.
We want some very average people. We want to have a team so that when we come into a parish or into a school, every young person in the group can point to somebody and say, "You know what? I'm kind of like them. I'm kind of like her. And if they can do it, I can do it."
That's kind of genius. And sitting just to your right here is one of those. I won't ask you, James, where you fall on the smart or not so smart people, but welcome to the program, James, first of all, and thank you for serving with Net Ministries. So tell us a little bit about your experience last year. Well, no, let's go even back farther than that. Where did Net first occur to you? When did you first meet Net in general?
Yeah, thank you for the question. Thank you for having me on set. It's kind of like I got called up to the big leagues.
That's right.
Talking, so yeah, so thank you. So I'm originally from East Boston, which is, if you fly into Boston, right, Logan Airport, that's where I live. Back in February 2016, I was finishing up college, 2017, my apologies, and I was helping at a confirmation retreat back home, in my home parish. And as Mark was saying, like, at that age, like, what I told people I wanted to do was I want to spread love through the world and I want to change the world.
Wow.
And so when someone asked me, as they all do to all college seniors, what are you doing after college?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked around and I said, you know what? I would like to do something like this full time. I would like to go into retreats. I'd like to encounter young people and I want to make a difference. And then right away, he said, have you ever heard of Net Ministries? I said, no, I haven't. In Boston, it wasn't as widespread. And so I looked it up. I went home. I looked up Net Ministries, read all about it. I got really excited. I'm not sure. I filled out an application. I've never been so happy filling out stuff about myself before. and then May 2017, I went out and I interviewed. And when I landed, Mark, I'm not really sure you know the story. I landed and the guy next to me on the airplane said, James, what can I do for you? Because he knew I was coming for an interview. I said, you know, like, you can pray for me. And he said, absolutely. And I was waiting to get picked up. He came to me and he said, all right, James, we're going to pray right now. Mm. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
This is starting now.
Yeah.
And so he came down and he said, James, I think you're going to be a great source of change. Are you ready to make this leap? And I said, yes, like I'm ready to jump. And so I thought I was going to come in and change Net. And I thought I was Net's solution. they've been running for 37 years at that point, and I thought I was going to be the greatest thing Net ever had.
I love young people. It's fantastic. Yes.
And so what I didn't realize is that the biggest work we do reach 100,000 youth each year. The biggest work that we do is in the 175, and it is in like the 200 that we do really challenge, because I was very challenged last year to grow in my faith. It's sink or swim, and praise the good Lord, I have Jesus on my side helping me, or else I wouldn't have made it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the trip I had, and the great change I had was because of Net and God working through it.
Now, you were out at Providence Academy, and any particular moments that really stand out to you from your time at Providence Academy?
Yes, senior retreat.
Okay.
So we have their youth minister there, their campus minister, is a Net alum. So he gets to coordinate the whole entire senior retreat, which was such a treat for us as missionaries going there. And so I had this group of seven senior guys that I got along with, and I started like working with and started developed a small group with. And the beginning of the retreat, we blindfolded them just like Paul was blinded when Jesus came to him. And that small group really, I was shocked. The young men, they're 17 years old, talking about how they really want to change their life and how when they left school, they left this Catholic community, they wanted to start their own. And really, like, they were serious because they were blindfolded so that they can't goof around and look at each other. They really wanted to make this jump when they went into college. And it just spoke, like, it really struck me that it was so amazing to see this in a group of senior men, which normally you don't have that. But the walls were down because they were blindfolded. And throughout like last year, just working with them and like being with them and walking with them, each day I got to see them at school. I got to have lunch with them. So it was a great thing to be able to walk with them. And I'm still in touch with them today. We're probably going to hang out soon because they have a little break because of Thanksgiving. So it's going to be great. But being able to walk with them and being able to see their walls come down when they were blindfolded was probably the thing that was amazing.
You're seeing change.
Yes.
Yeah, you're seeing lives change. Mark, is this, I would imagine you hear all sorts of stories. Is this pretty typical of your missionaries? They see lives change?
Very much so. And I think for our Catholic young people, so many of them don't know that there are other people of faith that actually believe what we teach.
Right.
And as they experience real life faith being lived out, it's extremely attractive to them, extremely attractive.
Mm-hmm. So, as you're looking down the road a little ways, well, let's back up. Let me ask you this. So some people like James, and James, I want your input on this as well in just a moment, but some people, then they come back and they serve as a staff person on net. How does that transition usually go, and what have you seen as missionaries move from missionaries to actually be on staff with NET?
Well, I think it's for us, it's part of the continued formation of the missionary. So when James and others like James come onto mission staff, they get some additional formation. They live together in Christian household where mm-hmm. they kind of rub on one another, rub out each other's bumps
right.
and personality quirks.
Iron sharpening iron or something.
Absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely. And for us, it's really a chance for them both to serve back into the ministry of NET, but also to prepare for the next thing in their life. And a lot of our mission staff then go on pursuing religious vocations. We've got, I think, 68 priests who have come out of NET, two bishops, many religious sisters. A lot of the mission staff go on to become teachers, youth ministers, DREs. It really sets a young person on a road, if you will, to really make a lifelong offering of their life to Christ and to the church.
That's fantastic. James, okay, you're up. So you're in the midst of this right now because
yes.
you're serving as mission staff now with NET Ministries. What's it been like? What is the continued formation like?
The continued formation is something that someone said it to me the other day. It perfectly described it. I didn't know I craved it until I was given it, and then I just eat it all up. Mm. It is something that NET stresses. There's four tools that we stress: prayer, fellowship, and fellowship. And the community that I have is such an amazing thing, and it gives me practicals of like how to live my life. And I cling to the sacraments. Mm-hmm. I go to the sacraments because that's what God has given us. So being on mission staff, being with four other men in my household who are all striving for holiness is such an amazing thing to see, an amazing thing to be a part of. And it's just what I want to do with the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I want to strive to be as holy as I can be. I want to strive for that, and that's something I have had as a gift through mission staff.
Mm. Any thoughts as to where the Lord might be? I mean, you said it yourself. People are always asking you when you were finishing college, what are you going to do after college? What are you going to do after mission staff? Or is that an unfair question?
I wish I had an answer
okay.
for you.
No, that's probably good.
Another year of mission staff.
Yeah, Mark answers for you. I like that. Yeah, very good. All right, Mark, so looking down the road for NET Ministries, the Lord is clearly working in and through you. And as a friend of mine, former colleague of mine, used to say, Jesus wants not just a beautiful bride, but a big bride in the church.
That's right.
And so what are your thoughts? I mean, you're starting to expand beyond just the U.S. now, too.
Yes, we've been fortunate enough to replicate NET in several other countries, Canada, Australia, Ireland, Uganda. Now we're working with Scotland, which has been just a real delight. We've had a team there for the last 2 years, and the response of the Catholic Church in Scotland has been phenomenal. Scotland, by and large, is a fairly agnostic country. Mm-hmm. There's no real dominant faith at all. And so when our young missionaries come in and work with the Catholic kids, it's like they're hearing the gospel for the first time. It's almost like being back in the early church where they're bringing the good news for the first time to these young kids. And it's the response has been just phenomenal. It's been great. We've been doing a little bit of work with Spain, which has been fun. They've been sending young people over for the last couple of years to go through some of our training. We've got a mission staff from Spain, from the Netherlands. We've had them from Scotland, from Ireland. We're really beginning to experience the universal nature of the church in our work, and it's been exciting, very exciting.
Very good. So I'm afraid time is against us here, but just before we let you go, Mark, first from you, you're a parent. Any words for parents, words of advice for parents who have young people who may be considering this, or maybe they're far from the church? Anything that you would encourage them to do?
Number one, don't give up. I think too often when parenting gets challenging, we have a tendency to back up, to stop, slow down. Don't do that. Keep doing the right things. Keep praying for your kids. Keep reaching out. Keep being a good example. Keep encouraging them. Keep telling them the truth. The story isn't written yet. It's not complete. Don't judge your kids when they're 16. Judge them when they're 36. Stay in the fight and intercede. Second thing, try to help them connect with other kids of faith. There's great power in positive peer pressure. And if we can introduce our sons and daughters to other people where they can experience lived life with the same set of values, it's huge, huge.
Very good. James, how about you? Words to other, say, college students who are struggling with faith right now. How would you encourage them?
Yeah, pray. Yeah. Simple as that. Just asking the Lord to show them what He wants is such a powerful thing, because most of the time we don't think of it. I know I didn't think of it in college. I didn't think, what does the Lord want me to do? It's like, no, what I want. And St. Augustine puts it very well. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Him. And I just don't think we think of what the Lord wants for us and that His plan is better than anything else. So praying and asking for His guidance.
Beautiful advice. Yeah. Thank God for the work that Net Ministries is doing. Mark, if people want to find out more about Net Ministries, where should they go?
NetUSA.org. NETUSA.org.
That's simple as that. Mark Bertram, James Farina, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Patrick.
Very good. And then we are, you know, we're going to continue on a theme here, variations on a theme. We're going to talk a little bit about just how something called Into the Deep has been reaching out to young people as well, specifically around the topic of the theology of the body. Joining me now in studio, Jen Messing, who is the founder and executive director of Into the Deep. And before I just go through a whole litany of biographical information, we're just going to say hello, Jen. Hello, Jen.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on the Rediscover Hour. Thank you for being here. All right. Same question I asked Mark, but with Into the Deep. Where did the inspiration come? Was it, how did you get thinking about, this is something that is needed?
That could be a very long story. There are so many stages to this story.
Can you give us the initial 3-minute version?
That's where I'm narrowing it down in my head. I'm thinking that so many different elements. When I first heard about theology of the body, I had finished a degree in social work and wasn't very certain that's what I wanted to actually focus on. I wanted to actually be more explicit about sharing my faith, and so I was questioning whether or not I actually wanted to be licensed and move into that field more formally, even though the skill set was extremely helpful. When I learned about theology of the body, it created a baseline in my head and my heart for everything that we are made to be as a human person. I came to recognize it explains the core of who we are and the core of what real love is supposed to be. And so it basically gave me the baseline for where all human problems come from. And therefore, instead of doing social work, I'm like, no, I want to spread theology of the body, because it's basically answering the question of who are we and why are we here? Mm-hmm. And at first, I did not set out to be a speaker. I just thought, I just want everybody to know about this. And so I kept trying to tell people about it. I had learned about it through Christopher West's, tapes. A lot of people talk about getting his cassette tapes back in the day. That was me. Okay. Listen to him over and over and over and let the vocabulary really sink into my head and heart. And ultimately, I happened to be volunteering for Pro-Life Across America at the time that I learned about it. And just as a side thing that I was doing, I was trying to figure out what kind of work I wanted to get into, and I was volunteering. They got a call for a chastity speaker at St. Agnes High School. And they're like, Jen, you've been talking about this theology of the body thing. You want to give a talk? Sure, why not? I mean, I literally went in and did a talk in front of the whole student body and had never given a talk before in my whole life. And it just launched me into the first 2 years I started giving talks was through Pro-Life Across America. And it's interesting, too, because I happened to do an experimental theology of the body retreat with Net Ministries that somebody else had started and then had to back out of. And we asked if we could continue the experiment. And so we did an experiment with their staff and a few kids. And it was, they were like deer in headlights learning about it, because it was just this total waterfall of information. But it from there, it became this whole idea of, like, I don't think I can do anything else. I have to spread this. And so I actually simultaneously had started the theology of the body, started the Frassati Society of Minnesota.
Yep.
And I was leading camping trips with people.
Okay.
The whole reality of being a body soul reality, the personhood thing, being body soul combo, is very alive when you're in the woods You are experiencing everything that God has poured out upon us through all of your senses, and your heart just breaks open. And so it became very clear to me that the lessons that the theology of the body has to offer would fit very well with the camping trip thing. But I kind of just kept doing both in parallel. I was very afraid to start my own nonprofit. I kept trying to tuck myself in under other people. Mm-hmm. And finally, the Lord made it very clear that it was a unique idea that needed to have its own name. So Into the Deep was born in 2012. It took a while. But I, all along, you know, for 10 years, I was giving talks. And in fact, was giving talks without any formal theology degree, but then finally went back to school and got that. I've been doing a certification with the Theology of the Body Institute to try and back up my knowledge of theology of the body, as well as leading study groups on the text, etc. So it's been a very layperson study of it for me. But I think that helps me to break it down into basic terms for other people. And then my camping experience was very personal. Like, I just had the experience from childhood on, but then I tweaked it and got some more experience, and then I brought it all together under the umbrella of Into the Deep. And so ultimately what I'm doing is following through with all the little prompts along the way that God has planted in my heart. You know, just keep going, just keep going, just keep going. It's an amazing amount of stamina, I suppose, that it's taken to just keep saying yes over and over and over, and to pull together all the different skills that he has given me, and to really put it into a unique package of what Into the Deep is, which is to offer speaking, teaching seminars, study groups, as well as the classic camping experiences that people tend to associate with me. So
I've definitely heard about the Into the Deep retreats, and but I don't really know what goes on there. Give us a little snapshot of what happens in an Into the Deep retreat.
So the classic idea retreat would be to launch from the Twin Cities here, or I've been known to drive across the country with all the gear in my car and meet people at airports and things, because I do youth trips as well as adult, and so I've chosen a different national park for the adult trips every year. Regardless, we launch. We'll do most of the time. It's a base camp kind of thing where we're just camping in one spot and going out day to day. But I tell people that their electronics are not welcome.
Okay, all right.
That they're there to really experience the quiet of just being with God, and to try to allow him to pour his gifts out into them. I see the outdoors as being his original cathedral without any kind of a new agey thing going on there. It is his original way to get us to look up and to look at him and to really expose our hearts to him and to experience his love. And so I simply try to establish atmosphere for people to have an experience of quiet and just being with God. I do bring a priest along, God willing. Each time there has been a priest, so that we can have daily mass and adoration, John Paul II style. Nice. We've flipped canoes over and had mass on top of a canoe, and we've had some beautiful rocky mountain overlooks, etc., to praise God in his Eucharist. The days always unfold differently depending on weather and details of where we are, but there's usually hiking or canoeing or that sort of, you know, just basic kind of outdoor things. I don't do the hardcore, like, rock climbing thing or, and it's interesting because as I discern what I'm supposed to do, some of it is out of necessity. I am it, like, I am running this whole thing, and it takes a whole different level of preparation to do something that would entail rock climbing, etc. And I hope that I can incorporate some of that at some point. But I have recognized that pulling people away from their normal everyday life and trying to help them to enter in means that I actually have to keep things a little bit more low key, so that it's not just do activity while they're on this retreat, because right. Otherwise I'm just duplicating what they're doing in their everyday life. So my retreats can seem kind of chill because they are meant to be a little more stripped down and not just packed with activity. So typically I will when we're on a hike, at some point I will spontaneously just kind of watch for an opportunity where I will have people spread out on the trail, like probably 50 feet apart, so that they're having an experience of actually walking, you know, alone in the woods, mm-hmm. but they know that somebody's in front of them and in back of them. So they're not hopefully too nervous about being out there, but they still have a time to just deal with the nervousness of like, I don't normally have to be alone. I don't normally have to deal with silence. I don't know what to do with this. And I try to give them tips on how to just talk to God, you know, like a friend, and to really open up their heart to what he might want to tell them or what he might want to show them. I'm just a little kid when I get out there. I'm pointing out the flowers and the trees and the birds and whatever. I mean, there's so much beauty in the small details. And so I try to draw their attention to that sort of thing, because that is God pouring himself out in gift at all times. And it is in the small little details that he knows about every person's heart. And so he wants to delight you, and he'll find something for every person to like put in their path. And it's interesting to have teenagers, you know, find a beautiful overlook and be like, okay, cool. Find a spot to sit. Don't lay down and take a nap, but just sit and be with God, and to have them sit there for an hour and just feel so blessed by it. And even the hour long, typically the hike where they're spread out on the trail, that is across the board, adults and teens, is usually said to be one of their favorite things to do. Mm-hmm. Can we spread out again? Can we spread out again? They want to have some time to just be alone with God, and they don't really know how to create it themselves. So I'm trying to facilitate and,
So it's all really focused around that, about, like you were saying before, kind of this body-soul composite that we are,
yeah.
as human beings made in the image and likeness of God.
Yeah.
That we have, or that they are there encountering the Lord in his, I like how you put it, the original cathedral.
Yeah.
But it's also, well, yeah, it's facilitating that personal encounter
mm-hmm.
With the Lord. Do you have times of teaching as well, or is it?
Yes.
Okay.
I try to be a little bit incognito about that, actually. I've tried to be a little more explicit about it now, because I figured out that people weren't really picking up on the fact that I was teaching. I guess that's what it, I mean, in my mind, that's what teaching is supposed to look like. But to really plug things in as the lessons present themselves is my way of operating. I typically am plugging in 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. And I'm constantly on alert, just watching for what the Lord is opening the door to, because every single trip has a different group of people, a different set of circumstances, different weather, bugs, hunger, whatever,
right.
different little, you know, you're hiking, you're tired, and there's another big hill and I don't want to walk up it. Okay, let's pause at the bottom and let's talk about how do you offer your body as a prayer, right?
Okay.
As you're going up this hill, instead of, you know, and I'm constantly watching for where does God want me to plug in these little tidbits. But I have a stash of Theology of the Body lessons in my head that are helping to tell the story of, you know, what is going on here, telling little tidbits about who we are as human persons, that you've been given an intellect and free will, that you have five senses that are picking up on all of these amazing things around you, that you are unrepeatable, that you change history just by being here, that you're a gift to the world no matter who you are, no matter what you do. It's just good that you're here. The fact that your body is a vehicle for all that you are and who you, and what you do, and that you smile at someone and you're making a gift of yourself. And that helps people to recognize that the theology of the body is not just for married people. It's not just,
right.
It is about sex. Yes, it's about being made male and female. But it is meant to be a lesson about personhood and
right.
who we are, why we're here, what's the point of it, you know, that we are made for love. And yes, the desire of your heart's for love. And the fact that you're made male and female means that you're made to give and receive love. But it can look as small as smiling at someone and as big as dying on the cross. So then you start talking about the variety that is amongst that in all the different vocations, whether you're single, married, or celibate, so that they can understand this is about everybody. And to have that time and space to just spread the lessons out as they pop up, it's been such a gift, because, you know, you start defining love and you can talk about hard moral issues sitting around the fire at night. So you can have a whole hour and a half conversation without it feeling awkward that maybe there's a quiet point because everybody's just kind of gazing at the fire. Or you can just end up having a lot of time to laugh and enjoy each other. I just try to make it very organic as far as when those bigger conversations happen. Because depending on the weather, honestly, I might not. I had a teen group this summer where we couldn't have a fire at night to save our lives. It was dead calm. We had bugs coming out at 5 o'clock, and we couldn't enjoy a fire to save our lives. It was painful.
Don't soil the experience now, because it's everything you've said so far is great.
Jen, no, it's glorious. Really, fires every night. It's
no, great. Okay, no. great. That's it.
Perfect.
Great, Jen. We only have about a minute left, but I wanted to make sure and ask you about Made for More.
Yeah.
Can you give the 15-second just intro to what Made for More is all about?
It's a whole separate organization. Christopher West started something called the Core Project, and they do an event called Made for More. And it is meant to be a blend of his presentation, music by Mike Mangione, and visual art that they project, etc., in order to help people understand the gospel and the desires that are in the human heart. It is meant to be something you can invite your fallen away family and friends, or your daily mass goer people, whatever. It's everybody kind of event. They're doing one in Chanhassen on November 29th and one in Stillwater on November 30th.
Oh, coming
and then
right up. Okay.
Christopher, God bless him, is going to do a fundraiser to benefit Into the Deep on Saturday, December 1st.
Oh,
so we're doing
good.
A question and answer session with him to make it a little more unique from the other two events.
That's great.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
And then finally, where can people find out more?
Yes, www.idretreats.org.
So, ID for Into the Deep.
Yeah, ID, the acronym ID.
Yes.
Retreats.org.
Okay, very good. Jen Messing, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. It's really a pleasure, and God bless you and all the work that you do.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We're going to go into our next break. When we come back, we got more. Liz Kelly is with us to talk a little bit more about an upcoming Advent preparation event. So stay with us. Rediscover.
The Inner Life.
Father Joseph Johnson.
You know, prayer too often is part of what I call vending machine spirituality. You know, I insert my prayer. I'm going to say a rosary. I push the button. This is the favor I want. And then I wait for it to come out. And when it doesn't come out, what do we know? If I put in my dollar to the vending machine, I push the button for the candy bar I want, and the candy bar doesn't appear in the tray, something's wrong with the machine. I go away mad. I'm never going back to that vending machine. And I'm going to tell all of my friends, don't ever go over to that vending machine.
The machine ain't my dollar.
And that's how we treat God. But what we have to be able to do is see, God is not a vending machine. God is a loving Father. And He's not saying no. He's saying, your eyesight is limited. But I, your eternal Father, see 2020. And there's something better I want for you because I love you so much.
Our Catholic priests are here to help.
The Inner Life, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
We are your church, conceived in faith, pattern in love, drawn to your path.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer. Coming to you from the Golden Valley Radio, Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining us here now, it's been a full show so far, but we got even more. Liz Kelly is back. She is a frequent appearer on the Rediscover Hour. Glad to have her with us again. She's an award-winning speaker and author. She's written, her written works frequently appear in Magnificat, Lenten, and Advent Companions. And we're going to be talking about Advent. And we've talked to her about books and book studies and everything else that she's doing. Well, first of all, Liz, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to have you with us. And we're talking about this Tidings of Comfort and Joy Advent Day of Reflection, which is coming up in just a week's time, next Saturday on December 1st, as here we are just coming out. I opened the show with talking a little bit about we're coming off of Thanksgiving, but now we're looking ahead to Advent.
Mm.
So let's start with this question, Liz. Why is Advent important?
Mm. Well, it gives us the opportunity to consider in a very practical way the most important question there is, and that is, what does the incarnation have to do with me? Mm. What's Christ's incarnation? How does it order my life? How does it change the way I walk around in the world? And if it doesn't, why not?
Yeah.
Does that mean I have forgotten what it is? Does it mean I never understood what it is? Do I need to be re-engaged with this spectacular mystery? And I think that Advent tees us up to ask that very important question on any number of levels.
So you're telling me that there's more to December than just going to holiday parties, scrambling around, getting all your Christmas shopping done, and maybe picking up a holiday coffee beverage from one of the local purveyors, yeah?
Yeah, this is one of the reasons that we put it at December 1st, right at the top, so yeah. that it could really, I hope, in a positive way, infect the rest of your Advent preparation.
I like that word, infect your Advent
it's
preparation.
It's a holy infection, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about it then. So it's Tidings of Comfort and Joy, mm-hmm. an Advent Day of Reflection. Again, it's going to be Saturday, December 1st, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., so a full day.
Yeah.
At the St. Clement campus of Holy Cross Catholic Church in Northeast Minneapolis. All right, so give us you said you used the term tee up. Tee up this day for us. What is it going to look like?
We are going to be reflecting with my very dear friend, Father Byron Hagen, my long, long time friend. I knew him when he wasn't even Catholic.
Oh, wow.
So we have a long relationship, and it's kind of a dream come true for us to be shoulder to shoulder in this day, he as a priest and me as a laywoman. And I will be talking about the comfort and joy piece, and he's going to be talking about the tidings. So he's really going to be digging deeper into the incarnation, and I'll be reflecting more on comfort as a real strengthening from the Holy Spirit and the proper sort of use of joy, the proper expression of joy, and things like that. So I really hope that it's, Carlo Corretto says, make some desert in your life. Make some desert in your life. And I hope that this day is like a little mini desert in people's Advent that is free from a lot of distractions, free from a lot of hubbub and activity, but someplace where they can really come and rest for the day, rest in the mystery of the incarnation, that extraordinary reality of Christ coming as a little baby.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we were just talking about with Jen, too, getting out. And it's a different kind of desert and getting out into the wilderness with her. But this is also a spiritual, I like that term, make a little desert in your life. So this is a spiritual opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the theme, tidings of comfort and joy, how would you define joy?
I would first say what it's not, which is happiness.
Okay, good. Say more about that.
Yeah. I think about a time when I was being asked to do something unethical in my workplace, and I couldn't do it. And it became a big hubbub, and they were threatening to fire me and all this sort of thing. And I was not happy during that time, Patrick.
No.
I was concerned that I was going to be losing my job, and how was I going to be paying my mortgage? But what this did for me is it really helped to define joy, because I had a peace that surpasses all understanding, because it was very, very clear to me that what I was being asked to do, I could not do. So even though it was very difficult, I had kind of this interior smile the whole time, because I could, I knew what the truth was. It was so clear to me. And I got just the tiniest little idea of Christ's agony in the garden, that he could go to the crucifixion with joy.
Yeah, this is
not happiness.
I'm glad you brought that up, because this is, I think, is one of the misconceptions that we have with Advent, but also maybe even more so with Lent, is that it seems foreign to our ears when we talk about these liturgical seasons, especially Advent and Lent, as seasons of joy. So there is not, just because one might be going through a rough time, whether that's, you know, in fear of concern about maybe losing your job, or concern about an impending crucifixion
right,
or whatever it might be.
Variety, right.
Right. Right. There's still, that doesn't mean that there's not joy present.
Right. Well, and I think Mary's a great example of that too, because I imagine that some of that pondering in her heart, mm-hmm. it wasn't just, what does this mean? What does this mean? I think that there was kind of a delight in the joy of embracing this tremendous mystery, not even understanding all of the sacrifices that were it would require of her, but the joy of knowing that she was part of something so important, no matter what the sacrifices, no matter what the demands were going to be on her, she was chosen. And there's great joy in that. It's wanting to reclaim our sense of chosenness, and because of that, we have a real destiny, a real eternal destiny.
Right. And I was just thinking as you were saying that, you teed that one up nicely, is that I was just thinking that what's required for all of this to be the case is there must be an element of transcendence that goes beyond the experiences that we're undergoing each and every day. Not that those experiences are inconsequential or that they're that they're unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
But there is...
It's actually what gives them their importance is because they are part of this transcendent reality.
Right.
That's what postures us in them.
Yeah, one of my favorite, I have lots of favorite scripture quotes. The one that's playing in my head right now anyway is that St. Paul says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory which far outweighs them all. And now this is a guy who, tradition tells us that he was beheaded, not crucified. But he went through his share of troubles that would not be considered light and momentary.
Mm-hmm. And yet he was content in all things. And, I think you could easily say he was joyful in all things.
Mm-hmm.
That might be another way to express Christian joy, is a sort of contentment in all things, placing everything against the reality of the incarnation and the resurrection, placing mm-hmm. everything against that horizon. We have no reason not to be joyful if we're holding the risen Christ with us interiorly.
Mm-hmm.
And in Advent, really holding the baby, all the life, all the potential, all that will be accomplished in that little innocent child.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I've always seen Advent as a time of reflection, of reflecting on the great gift of the incarnation, but also, mm-hmm. as you started out with, what does that mean for me?
Mm-hmm.
How does it affect me?
Mm-hmm.
And it should extraordinarily significantly affect who I am.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's easy to get into the day-to-day and the routine of things. And this is why we have the liturgical seasons, to yank us out of any kind of complacency and help us to enter into the mystery that we live every day.
I love it. Wow. Liz Kelly, I wish we had about another hour, another Rediscover hour to talk about these things. But we do have the event, again, is Tidings of Comfort and Joy. It's an Advent Day of Reflection with both Liz Kelly, our guest today, as well as Father Byron Hagen. It's going to be on Saturday, December 1st, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., St. Clement Campus of Holy Cross Catholic Church. We do ask you to register at rediscover-faith.org and click on events. It's $40. Space is limited, so please register early. I haven't checked in recently to see if there's still space available, but we'll see what that's going on. But at least jump over there. I think it's going to be well worth your time. Liz, any parting words for our listeners on how to have a great Advent?
Yes, make some desert in your Advent. A little bit of desert every day in your Advent.
I love it. Liz Kelly, it's always a pleasure to have you on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks for joining us. All right, we're going into our last break. As we do so, we've got all kinds of things. We got this Advent Day of Reflection, which we'll hit again, but we got other things too going on, so stay with us.
Rediscover.
Catholic United Financial now offers Medicare Supplement Health Insurance. At 65, you can enroll in Medicare for your health care expenses, but Medicare only covers part of the cost. The answer? Medicare Supplement Insurance from Catholic United. It can help pay expenses Medicare doesn't cover. Catholic United can help with Medicare Supplement, Part D, dental, and vision coverage. Call 651-765-6555 for a quick comparison quote. See how much you can save. Catholic United Financial. Competitive pricing. Easy enrollment. hassle-free claim service. And best of all, we're a Catholic company that honors your faith with a track record of people helping people. Call right now, 651-765-6555, or find your local rep online at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Medicare supplement insurance from Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
It feels like a brand new day, and I know I'm not the same.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Are you doing anything particularly special for Advent?
Nothing particularly special. I'll probably get the tree up a couple weeks before Christmas, as is my tradition.
Yeah, very good.
And, you know, maybe I'll pull out the Advent wreath.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, we usually put our tree up on Gaudete Sunday, so okay.
that's our way of celebrating Gaudete.
All right, so what else we got going on,
Paul? Well, men are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally Thursday, November 29th, 6:30 to 9 at St. Nicholas in Elko Newmarket. Evening includes the Eucharistic Adoration, Confession, Dinner, and a presentation by Archbishop Hebda. Free will offering of $10, suggested but not required. Register online, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org, or contact Enzo Randazzo, randazzov@archspm.org.
Here it is. Begin your Advent season with the Tidings of Comfort and Joy Advent Day of Reflection on Saturday, December 1st from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Hear from Father Byron Hagen and Elizabeth Kelly as they speak on the meaning and importance of the Incarnation. The day includes Mass, Confession, Eucharistic Adoration, and Light Breakfast and Lunch. All are welcome. Space is limited, though, so please register early. To find out more and to register, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org.
Women are invited to the Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women Advent Retreat Saturday, December 8th, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Holy Name of Jesus in Medina. The day begins with prayer and continental breakfast. Speakers for the day, Father Michael Daly and Daniel Cantor. Morning will conclude with Mass at noon, celebrated by Archbishop Bernard Hebda. Also a chance to do some Christmas shopping. A number of vendors will be available that day. Register online at archspm.org/ACCW2018 event. Advent. And for more information, call 651-291-4545 or email allyc@archspm.org.
Mary Mother of the Church Ministry presents Sing Christmas, a Christmas cantata with Mary Mother combined choirs, youth choir, bell choir, full orchestration, and narrations. On Sunday, December 9th from 2:30 to 4 p.m., come and celebrate the Advent and Christmas season. The event is free, but a free will offering will be accepted. For more information, visit mmotc.org.
Men learn the basics of the Bible in one day at the Catholic Watchman Men's Bible Boot Camp with Jeff Caven, Saturday, December 15th, 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at St. Maximilian Kolbe Church in Delano. Discover the heroic men of the Bible, find out how to make Scripture part of your daily life, and learn how to lead your family in reading the Bible with you. Registration is $40. That includes workbook, donuts, and a hearty lunch. The event is free for sons age 18 and under. Find out more, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. Or contact Men's Evangelization Manager Enzo Randazzo at randazzov@archspm.org.
All right.
And is that enough for you?
That's enough. All right. Thank you, Paul. Next weekend is our first weekend of Advent. Well, it's the first Sunday of Advent on December 2nd. So we're going to talk about, in fact, this is one of my favorite programs we do. We're going to have our Advent music show. We're here from local and Catholic musician Ali Aaliyah, as well as her two songs, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence, one of my very favorites, and You Are. We'll also hear from Bob Hindle about an upcoming Christmas concert titled A Season of Joy, taking place in December. So we got wonderful music coming your way next time on Rediscover Hour. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday at noon, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio.
Rediscover.